to be here. Thank you, Pastor. I'm thankful for that song. It reminds me, you know, I am what I am by the grace of God. So God's been good. Would you please take the word of God with me and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I believe this is what the Lord wants me to share with you all today. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. And we will begin reading in verse number 1. Second Chronicles chapter 20, we'll begin reading verse number 1. And the Bible says, "It came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazar Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed the fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Jump with me to verse number 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you please mark this phrase towards the end of verse 12, where the Bible says, but our eyes are upon thee. But our eyes are upon thee. By God's help, for a few moments, I want to speak on this topic, how to look to God in times of trouble. How to look to God in times of trouble. The Bible tells us that it was told King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, that the Ammonites, the Moabites, and another country all came together to fight against Judah. King Jehoshaphat quickly realized that he was outnumbered. They did not have the resources to fight. They did not have the manpower. And they realized that if their enemies were successful, Judah would be taken away captive. So the Bible tells us that he called everyone to come out of Judah to pray and to seek the Lord. And in his prayer, he said, Lord, we do not know what to do. In other words, he was saying, we don't know how we're going to get the victory. But the only thing that we know to do in this battle, the only thing that we know to do in this trial, is to simply keep our eyes upon you. And you know, there are many times in the Christian life where God allows us to go through trials and go through times of testing. Peter even put it this way, my brethren, count it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. We know that trials and difficulties and pains and heartaches are normal in the Christian life. But the great test of our faith is not what we do to try to get ourselves through the battles, but rather it is this one thing. Are we keeping our eyes upon God? Are we keeping our eyes upon God? You know, the Bible really gives us an outline here on what it means to keep our eyes upon God in times of trouble. And I want us to take a look with God's help this morning at what it really means to keep our eyes upon God in times of trials and in times of testing. Number one, I want to run through these things. The first thing we see, that if we are going to keep our eyes upon God in times of trouble, in times of trial, number one, we have to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. We have to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look with me in verse number 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeliel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. And notice this. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. When this great proclamation was made that we don't know what to do, but the only thing that we're going to do in the midst of this battle is to keep our eyes upon you. The Bible says at that moment, the Spirit of God came and was in the midst of the people, showing and signifying to us that the Spirit of God has such a vital role when we are going through trials. I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he also said, I will send forth the Comforter. The Comforter is speaking about this same Spirit of God. Many people believe that the Spirit of God is just a force, or that the Spirit of God is just a power. And even though the Spirit of God has force, and even though the Spirit of God has power, the Spirit of God is a person. You can only grieve a person. There is a person that is living within us, the Holy Spirit of God, that desires to guide us, who desires to direct us, who desires to comfort us when we find ourselves in trials and in storms. So we see that we have to be filled with this precious Holy Spirit of God. He is our great comforter in trials. He is the one that we should turn to, and he's the one who fills us when we find ourselves in battle. Number one, this morning, I want to show us that in order for us to look to God in times of trouble, number one, we have to be filled with the Spirit of God. The second thing I'd like to show you is that in order for us to keep our eyes upon God in times of trials and in times of battle, not only are we to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, but we are to dismiss all fear and discouragement. We must dismiss all fear and discouragement. Look with me in your text in verse number 15. And he said, this is God speaking, by the way, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Charles Spurgeon put it well. He said, he that counts the stars in the sky and knows each of them by their name is in no danger of forgetting his own children. He knows your case as thoroughly as though you are the only creature that he has ever created, or as though you are the only child that he has ever loved. You can trust God. And oftentimes God's people are living in fear and not in faith. And I believe that one of the greatest devices of the enemy is to make us afraid. We spend today's strength on tomorrow's worries. And Satan knows that God's people are of no good use if we are fearful. The Bible even says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So it is not the will of God for me to be afraid despite my circumstances. It is not the will of God for me to be anxious despite my trials, but it is the will of God for me to keep my eyes upon God. So he says, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. You know, God is not on the balcony of heaven wringing his hands, wondering what is going on. We serve a God that is in complete control. Even when Satan wanted to tempt Job, he had to go to God for permission first. Why? Because God is an all-sovereign God. There is nothing that just happens in this life. We serve a God that is in complete control. And he has called us to keep our eyes upon him. And with that, he said, be not afraid. So I ask you this morning, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of what could possibly happen? Are you afraid of the trials that you're facing? Are you afraid of what could be on tomorrow? God says, be not afraid. We should not be afraid because of who God is. The Bible says, now unto him, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which worketh in us. Our God is able to do more than we ask. And the Bible says that he is able to do more than we think. The things that are so high above our minds, God is able to do them. And because God is able, we should trust in him. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, verse 27, the Lord asked a very interesting question to his people. He said, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Your trials, your pains, the things that follow you to sleep at night and wake up with you in the morning, the things that rob your joy, those fearful trials and pains, I ask you this morning, is that too hard for God? He says, what you're dealing with, what you're going through, is anything too hard for God? Jeremiah rightly answered in that same chapter, verse 17, he said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast created the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you." And because we serve a God that has all power, that is able to do all things, the word able means to have the ability to act according to one's will. God has the ability to act according to his own will. This is the same God who spoke and the world came into existence. In the book of Joshua, he told the sun to stand still and the moon to stand still. He parted the Red Sea. He has done so many wondrous things that we see in his word. And he says that there is nothing too hard for me. And because there is nothing too hard for God, there is no reason for his people to fear. I ask you this morning, are you a fearful person? Verse 15 tells us, be not afraid. And by the way, that was not a suggestion, that was a command. He said, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Why? For the battle is not yours, but God's. And I'm so thankful that when King Jehoshaphat realized that the battle was too great for him, when he realized that he was in a time of trouble, the Bible tells us that he proclaimed a fast. He called everyone to come and to seek the face of the Lord. Why? Because he knew that he served the God in heaven that delights to hear and answer the prayers of his people. I'm so grateful that God hears us. He hears us in our darkest hours. The Bible tells us, well, Jesus said for himself in John chapter 15, he said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will of the Father, and it shall be done unto you. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Jesus just said it plainly like this: "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall," what? "Be opened unto you." We serve a God that delights to hear and answers our prayer. And he said, "Let us come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain help in time of need, mercy in time of need." He realized that he served a God that hears and answers prayer. So he called everyone to come together to pray and to seek the face of the Lord, showing us that when we find ourselves in times of trials, when we find ourselves in the battle, we're to be filled with the Spirit of God. We're to pray and to seek the face of God. We have to dismiss all fear and discouragement. Fear is beneath the lowest duty of a Christian. Fear has no place in our lives. We are people who are filled with the Spirit of God, and therefore fear has no place. Fear has no place in our minds. Fear has no place in our hearts. Fear has no place in our decision making. Fear has no place, and therefore God instructed his people not to be afraid. I ask you, are you afraid? Are your eyes upon Christ, or are your eyes upon your circumstances? You remember that time in Matthew chapter 14 when Jesus, after Jesus was finished feeding the 5,000, 5,000, he commanded his disciples to go into the ship and to head into the other side. Then the Bible tells us that they encountered a storm. And as they encountered the storm, they saw someone walking on the water and they thought it was a ghost. And Jesus replied to them. He said, "Be not afraid, it is I, be of good cheer." And Peter, that bold disciple, said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water. Why? Because he had his eyes on Jesus. But the Bible tells us the moment he took his eyes off of Jesus, he put his eyes on the winds, he put his eyes on his circumstances, he saw the waves, how they were getting larger and larger, and he put his eyes on his circumstances, took them off of Christ, and what happened? He began to sink. You see, when we take our eyes off of God, and when we begin evaluating things, when we take our eyes and we put them on our circumstances, we begin to sink. Because that was never the plan. You see, everything that happens is foreordained by God. God allows it to happen. And he says, while these things happen, keep your eyes on me. When I was a teenager in church, I was so thrilled every time they sung this hymn. It goes like this: "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." I used to get so happy just of that thought, that if everything goes wrong here, if everything falls here, my citizenship is truly in heaven. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And one day I'm going to fly like a dove off of this earth. And I'm going to be with Christ for all of eternity." You know, this world is not our homes. We are pilgrims and strangers in a foreign land. But as we are here on this earth, God said, "You will endure trials and afflictions." And while you endure these trials, while you endure these afflictions, you are to keep your eyes upon me. And in my time, I will call you home. That should be our perspective. I was teaching the other day at a Christian school to a bunch of teenagers, and the class was called Biblical Worldview. I said, "What do you think our worldview should be?" They gave some answers. I said, no. "Your worldview should be that one day Christ is going to call you home. Amen. You are a pilgrim on this earth, and we are to obey him and to keep our eyes upon him." So we see we have to dismiss all fear and discouragement. I also like to show you that we must face our troubles by faith, believing that God has already given us the victory. Amen. We must face our troubles by faith, believing that God has already given us the victory. Notice with me in verse number 17. He says, "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Oftentimes, we as God's people, we take our problems and we put them on the coat rack and we come to church. We enjoy the preaching, we enjoy the fellowship, we enjoy the music, and we have a great time in God's house. And the moment the church service is over, we go back to that coat rack. We pick our problems back up. And then we go back out and try to face everything on our own. But here, God says, no, tomorrow go out against it by faith. Why? Because the Lord will be with you. God is a victor. He cannot lose. We are his children. He said, the victory has already been given to you. When I was in school, it's actually a little before me, there was a teacher that came, a guest preacher, and he was teaching a bunch of preacher boys in a preaching class. And he was trying to teach them a verse, a very well-known verse, Romans 8, verse 28. And he was asking them to quote that verse, and the class didn't know the verse. They said, "All things work together." He said, no, that's not it. Try it again. And they struggled and mumbled through their words. He said, "All things work together." He said, "No, that's not it. For we know that all things will work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." He said, "For we know there is a certainty with it that all things comprises of all things." every trial, every pain, every battle, every circumstance, I can take to the very banks of heaven because of the authority of the word of God that thing will work out for good. I may not see how it's going to work out for good, but I can trust God at his word, and we have to believe that God has already given us the victory. He has already given it to us. So therefore, we have no need to live in defeat. We have no need to live in fear. We have to live by faith. For the Bible says the just shall live by faith. In the Old Testament, there was a time the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, and they were at a place where there wasn't any water. They thought that all of their cattle was going to die. They didn't know what to do. They prayed and they sought the face of the Lord. And the Lord said, this valley that's in front of you, make this valley full of ditches. Dig the valleys full of ditches. And he said, I will fill them with water. He said, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet those valleys shall be filled with water. They didn't see the wind, they didn't see the rain. What did God do? He filled it with water. You know, oftentimes in our lives, we're facing trials, we're facing circumstances, and we don't see the wind. We don't see how things are going to work out. But God says, dig the ditches. Dig the ditches. Make the preparations. And do it by faith, believing that I will fill it with water. Therefore, we have to face our troubles by faith, believing that God has already given us the victory. He says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Notice he said, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Notice that phrase. There are so many battles that we face, that we are fighting, that it is not our business to fight. We have no business fighting those battles. And I truly believe with all my heart, the moment we take our hands off and the moment we stop trying to fight it ourselves, that's the very moment in which God can come and he can fight it for us. He said, you have no need to fight in this battle. Are you fighting a battle that belongs to God to fight? Are you fearful today? Are you holding on to fear and discouragement? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Let me give you one last point and I'll be done. When we find ourselves in a trial, when we find ourselves in a battle, although we need to be filled with the Spirit of God, although we need to pray and seek his face, although we need to face our troubles by faith, believing that God has already given us the victory, but very simply this morning, we need to worship God. Amen. We need to worship God. Let me draw some context for you. The enemies were still coming at this point. The children of Israel were still outnumbered. And they did this, and the children of Israel did the strangest thing. Notice with me in verse 18. The Bible says this, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping God. Worshiping the Lord. When the enemies were coming and when they were about to be taken captive, the Bible says everyone with their head to the and their face to the ground, they began to worship God. Showing us that when the enemies are coming, when our faith is being tested, when we're in the heat of the battle, we should be worshiping God. Spending more time with our head to the ground. Spending more time in prayer, spending more time in the Word of God. When we face trials and battles, our devotion to our Savior should grow stronger. It really should. And the most fascinating part about this whole account is what I'm going to share with you now. The most fascinating part about all of this is when God gave them the victory. When did God give them the victory? Not when they said, okay, it's time to fight. We're going to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. The enemies were coming. They were still outnumbered. And God gave them the victory at the most unique time. Notice with me in verse number 22. And when they began to sing and to praise. After they began to sing and to praise, the Bible says, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. God gave his people the victory when they began to praise and worship God. And I believe that the victory for many of us is just around the corner. God is just waiting to hear us sing. He's just waiting to hear us thank God for the trial. He's just waiting for us to take our Bibles and begin to read through the Psalms and rejoice in him. I truly believe that God gives the battle the victory still when his people begin to praise and to worship him. This afternoon, may we begin to praise and worship him in the trials. May we begin to give him glory for the pain. Realizing that God is economical, he will not waste a single trial in our lives. Everything has a reason. And today I believe that God is just waiting for us to begin to sing and to praise him in the midst of the storm. So we go back to our text. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. May we take our eyes upon our circumstances. May we take our eyes off of people. And may we fix our eyes upon our precious Savior who died and gave his life for us. Let's all bow together and pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the word of God today that instructs us to keep our eyes upon you. Father, we know that we have many battles, many times of testing. But Father, we are thankful that you are greater than it all. We're thankful that you have exhorted us in your word to keep our eyes upon our precious Savior. I pray for each and every person in this room today, those that are going through trials, those who are going through battles, that they would all keep their eyes upon you. Help us to take our eyes off of our circumstances. May we dismiss the fear and the discouragement that Satan so desires to fill our minds with. And may we leave today trusting in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Jerob and Samuel, you keep doing the same thing, get the same results, but the results are praising and worshiping the Lord. Amen. And when we got it in our message today that we are not commanded to fight. The battle is not ours, but what? The Lord's. And so what we ought to do is like what we heard from the message today, we ought to just keep on going forward, keep on worshiping the Lord, keep on praying the Lord, and keep on our eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen. I ask you to stand to your feet with your head bowed. Again, I'm a preacher, but I love the word of God. And every time the word of God is shared, I get a blessing. Amen. Amen. So God may be speaking to you today. There may be some fear or some discouragement in your life. You may be looking at the circumstances. But from our message today from David, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. As God took care of his people back in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles, he's still the same yesterday, today, and what?
Forevermore.
So we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. So we're going to sing a verse or two, I've decided to follow Jesus. The Lord has spoke to your heart. We got an old-fashioned altar. If you'd like to come, you can pray there where you stand. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow. No turning back. No turning back.